Hi, everybody. Hi, Jenny.
Hello.
Welcome to episode 103 of the Changing Perspectives podcast. We are back from our little hiatus.
Yes, we are. I think it was a little bit longer than a little hiatus.
Yeah, a little bit. I think a little bit longer. We were busy being football parents and fall school parents and all that kind of stuff. Oh, I think we both took a couple of little trips for work slash business slash personal.
True.
So yeah, okay. It was a busy fall, but we're back. It's, I don't know when this episode's coming out, maybe November 1st or the 2nd or something like that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But welcome back, Jenny. And we're excited to be coming at you guys with episode 103. We have an important topic to chat about today, but why don't you take a second and tell everybody about very, very exciting changes to Changing Perspective.
Okay. Well, if you've been watching recently, if you've paid attention to our most recent, I think 2 or 3 episodes, we've been doing some soft, like rebranding, just kind of becoming a little refreshed. So we have a new podcast image cover. We have new podcast covers for each of our episodes. We're hosting on a new site now. So we're on Buzzsprout. Is that what
Buzzsprout.
It is? Buzzsprout now.
Yep.
We're also using new recording software, so we'll see what that does for like the video quality and the audio quality of this episode. And as of tomorrow or today, I guess, depending on when you're listening to this, as of November 1st, we are also offering Patreon subscriptions. So a lot of podcasts now are actually trying to monetize and not just do this for fun, but actually get at least some reimbursement to cover expenses. And this does tie in with what we're talking about today as our official topic, but we have decided to do that as well. So we now offer 3 levels of membership for Changing Perspectives podcast listeners. So I will run through those. If folks are interested in joining any of these memberships, you just head over to Patreon, which is patreon.com, and you can search for the Changing Perspectives podcast on there. Or you can go to patreon.com/thechangingperspectivespodcast and you'll find your membership options there. So all of these memberships are month to month. And so tier 1 is called Supportive Perspectives. That's $3 a month. That gets you a shout out by your name, at least 1 episode for each month of your membership, and access to our members only community. So there will be a community right there on the Patreon website where folks who are listeners of the Changing Perspectives podcast can actually engage with the podcast topics. It's been a little hard to do that on my Facebook page because my Facebook page for Changing Perspectives is not just for the podcast. So this will be a podcast specific community for members, and you will not have access to that community unless you are a Patreon member.
So cool.
In one of these tiers. So tier 1, Supporting Perspectives, $3 a month. Tier 2 is Extra Perspectives, and that's $5 a month. That will get you all of the benefits of tier 1. In addition, it will get you early access to new episodes. So tier 2 members will get episodes at least a day early, before they're released to everywhere else. And we'll also get you access to exclusive Changing Perspectives merchandise that is only available through Patreon, and then as well as the other tier one benefits. And then our top level of membership is Inside Perspectives. That's $7 a month. That gets you all of the tier 1 and tier 2 benefits. And it also gets you an additional episode each month. So that additional episode we're calling Rambling Perspectives, because that's essentially what it will be. These will be topic-less podcast episodes. So we won't have a topic. We will literally just turn on the microphones and talk about what's going on in our lives right then and there and kind of see what comes out of it. And those will not be released anywhere else but to our Inside Perspectives members. And in addition, those members will also have access to the video recordings for every episode. So those, like this video recording right now, will not be posted on our Facebook page, will not be released anywhere else. It will only be released onto our Inside Perspectives membership area on Patreon.
And you get to see, you get to see me shamelessly plug the actual merchandise, like my mug here.
Right. Well, but that merchandise is not Patreon exclusive. This is like brand new merchandise that you can't get anywhere else. And then there is a special. So for anyone who signs up between November 1st and November 30th, for any one of those three membership levels, you will actually get a free copy, a free PDF, so a free download of my ebook, Confessions from the Couch. So that grief ebook, which is sort of like a minier version of my actual grief guide and journal, it's available for purchase now, but I will be giving all of our new Patreon members for the entire month of November their own emailed copy of that. So pretty exciting and pretty so scary to be offering that, but that is the update.
It's so exciting. It makes me want to quit my job as host and just become a Patreon member for the Changing Perspective podcast. I would like to
you could pay if you want.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
This is great. That's so exciting, Jenny. I think, you know, we have entered the world of Patreon and as a podcast fan for a long time. I know that there's a bunch of great shows with great content that offer all these extras. And I knew that at some point I wanted us to venture down this path, and I'm excited we're doing it. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's been hard to venture down this path. And that's sort of what we're talking about today, right? Is essentially why is it sometimes, or maybe often, hard for folks to venture down a path like this, which is a path where we're saying like, hey, what we're doing is worthy and we would like to not do it for free. And so we'd like to be sort of compensated or kind of, you know, earn a little bit of a living off of that, or just be feeling like we're valued. That's hard for a lot of people. So that's kind of what we're talking about today. So it seemed fitting to finally take the leap and set this all up today.
So let's dive right in, I think, Jenny.
Okay.
Why is it hard? Why is it hard to say that I'm worth something? Why is it hard to say that I deserve something, or I should be compensated for my worth or my actions or my work, or what? Why is it hard for people?
I mean, I don't know, which is why I wanted to talk about it, right, and have a conversation around it. I think, you know, I'm curious if this is something other cultures experience or if this is kind of an American phenomenon, but I suspect it's tied to like not wanting to appear conceited or gloated, or I mean, everyone's throwing the word narcissistic around these days. I suspect it has something to do with that. And maybe it comes from, I don't know, like religious beliefs and sort of the foundations of this country, like pilgrim and puritanical beliefs. I don't know, but I don't think it's healthy. And the opposite is not healthy either, right? That like, I'm not saying that we should all be walking around being like, I am the greatest thing on earth. I am worthy of love and attention and affection from everybody and all of the jobs and all of the money and all of the rewards and all of the accolades. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, as I usually am, somewhere in the gray, right? Between being like, oh, I can't ask for a raise, or, oh, I can't set a boundary with that person, or, oh, I can't ask for someone to give me $3 a month to listen to my podcast episodes, right? Like something between that and the other end, somewhere in between, I think is a healthier place to be, but that is a harder place for folks to be.
And I think generally speaking, this is a very common occurrence, right? I think it's rare where you have the other side where it's like, you know, that you believe you deserve stuff that maybe you don't or whatever. I think when you're describing the two extremes, I think that more often than not, people are on the end of saying, well, I don't feel comfortable asking for a raise, or I don't feel comfortable asking, you know, venturing down this path of asking people to pay for my work or my content. You think that that's just my.
Yeah, I think that's probably the people that we choose to socialize with and kind of have in our sphere are probably more that end of the spectrum than, you know, people who are really kind of, I don't know, conceited maybe.
Sure.
That's what I'm wondering. You seem very distracted. What are you doing? It's distracting to me. And if you're a member of that top tier, you will see this video. I don't know what is it, Lola?
No, I still had my workout shoes on, my toe shoes. See?
Okay.
And they were like really tight and they were bothering me.
Okay. All right.
So I had to take them off.
Okay. Well, if anyone who's watching the video recording wants now a link to the toe shoes that Josh is wearing,
I love I'm my
happy
toe
to put
shoes.
That, happy to put that in there. Toe shoes creep me out.
But they're not great for, well, they're good for running, but I'm preparing to run a 5K for the first time in a while. And I'm starting to do a little training and bothering my arches a little bit. So
that makes sense.
I don't heel strike anymore. I've switched. It's taken a long time to do that, but these are not great for running anyway, but I do recommend them. If anybody from Patreon would like to, get a link like Jenny said.
Okay. All right. What were we talking about before?
This is not a rambling perspective.
I know, but this is what the rambling perspectives will be like. I will not get you back on track. In a rambling perspectives episode, we'll just see where that goes.
We'll just go.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. I think you had said like most people tend to probably be on the other end of the spectrum of like, oh, I'm not comfortable asking for a raise or any of that. I don't know what the percentages are. There certainly are people, who do not struggle with that. But so I guess this is geared towards folks that do struggle with
it. Are we talking about like self-advocacy, you think? In addition to self-worth, like you, or being able to identify your needs and your wants, desires, and then saying, okay, how do I now advocate for myself? Once I decide that I'm confident, I know what I want, I think this is what I'm worth, how do I advocate for myself? Is that?
I think that's the next step, right? Like that initial step is evaluating and exploring your self-worth and your concept of self-worth and what you feel like you want. And then sort of, do I feel like I deserve that? Do I feel like I'm worthy of that? And then how do I go about advocating for that, right? Yeah. Whether it's setting a boundary or asking for permission or asking for some sort of support or something like that.
As I usually do, I pulled an article for today. Would you like me to introduce the article to folks?
No.
Okay.
Yes, of course.
Okay. This is from the Harvard Business Review.
You just said Harvard. Your Boston accent really is coming back out. Mm-hmm, I think you did. Yeah.
We've been back here too long from Colorado. this is from the Harvard Business Review by Rachel Montanez. Montanez. Oh my goodness. I can't even. I apologize, Rachel. It's from June of last year. Rachel Montanez wrote for The Ascend, which is part of the Harvard Business Review. She's a career coach, and they reached out to her for this article. And she talks about first understanding your wants. She writes, if you're not clear in what you want, it's harder to advocate for yourself and ask others to speak up in your absence. And it's impossible to know what you want unless you know what you're good at, what you like, and what type of environment enables you to do your best work. What do you think about that, Jenny?
I don't know what I think about that.
Okay.
I think
you have some issue with Rachel's.
No, statement. Not issue, but I think that I don't know that you have to know what you're good at, right? Was that the concept? You have to like know what you're good at. Mm-hmm. I don't think you have to necessarily be good at something for you to be worthy of. I don't know. I guess I need to think about that a little bit more.
Yeah. And this
because article, I guess can't most people be good at most things with practice and support and training? So if we like connect this to a job, right?
Sure.
I don't know. Like say I'm going to work in a call center doing something and I've never done that before. I'm probably not good at it on the first day. I'm probably good at it is probably relative, I guess, is what I'm thinking.
Right. Right. So I think this is more so about being able to advocate for yourself in any setting, whether it be work or something like this, what we're doing, content creation, podcast creation, something creative, and understanding, you know, how can you advocate for yourself if you don't quite know what you want, but you have to understand, I guess her point is you have to understand what you're good at or what you're adequate at or what you're, you know, I don't think she's saying as high as like expert, like SME or, you know, Malcolm Gladwell and the Outliers whole concept of, you know, 1,000 hours makes you an expert level or whatever. I don't think it's that. I think at that point, I think it's point of you need to identify, I guess, self-worth, what your self-worth and what you want out of that. And then you can advocate for yourself. Right, you have to understand sort of the background information before you say, okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, so are you specifically tying that to like the act of then advocating for yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's the next level though. Like that's not, like how do you even decide that you're worthy enough to ask for something, whether it is a raise or a promotion or, or being able to say no to someone or being able to set a limit with someone or being able to ask someone for something, you know, personally, okay, or being able to put it out there and sell your product or have a membership level for your podcast, yeah, right? Like that beginning part, how do you, cause I feel like that's where a lot of people really get stuck. I think for sure people then get stuck with, well, how do I, then what do I do? Right. But it's the even deciding that you're worthy of doing that.
So, so maybe
what's so funny?
What's funny is I think that I have maybe, an error. I don't know. Maybe I'm overconfident or conceited a little bit, but I just started from a place. Don't make a comment. I think, in thinking about this episode and what we wanted to talk about, I think I started from a place personally of on knowing my self-worth. And then, for me, I'm at that next step.
Oh, that's interesting. Cause that's not where, okay. So that's interesting. So you came into this conversation today, because this is how a lot of our episodes, like, what should we talk about? I don't know. Here's some topics that are potential. And I was like, what about this concept of like, you know, worthiness? Because we were talking about the Patreon thing. Like, how do you decide and what do you do when you struggle with kind of asking for something or self-promotion or deciding that you're worthy of something additional? And so it's interesting that you came into this conversation from a place of like, well, duh, I am worthy. So what do I do with it now? Like, how do I take action? And I came into it from a, well, I struggle with self-worth and self-confidence. So how do you get to that place? So that's interesting to me. But what is also interesting is that I don't think that you lack self-confidence. I think that personally, I'm speaking about you. I think that you come across and put forth maybe this attitude that you are really self-assured and confident and believe yourself to have a lot of self-worth, but I actually think internally you don't.
Okay. Maybe that's something that I tackle on my next therapy session.
Yeah. No, maybe I'm wrong. Right. I mean, we could stay here and unpack that a little bit.
Sure. I mean, this might be helpful for people. I'm getting really distracted by your shirt.
I almost changed my shirt because I thought it would be distracting. No.
I really like it. And it looks like you have tattoos on your, forearm.
Yeah,
I got
a new shirt and like the bottom quarter of the sleeves are like lace cutouts. So it does look like I have sleeves.
Yeah, I like it.
Tattooed on my arms. We saw friends a few weeks ago and they're like, oh my gosh, did you get tattoos? But I did not. It's just my shirt. So if you're watching the video, this is why you might want to have that membership level where you get the video, because you get to see that what I would look like if I had tattoos on my arms.
I'm recently, over the last year and a half, I've become a tattoo person and I have three of them myself. And I've been telling Jenny I can't wait till she gets her first one. So that I like
it. Okay, well, stop being distracted. Was that distraction a way to deflect a difficult conversation?
I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe. We can unpack it a little bit. I mean, I think that, you know, I think that for me personally, I think for most people, it depends on the topic or the part of their life, right?
Right. Like if we're talking about drumming, we went to Guitar drumming. Center on Saturday because our youngest had his birthday and he wanted to go get a guitar. So we had a budget and the three of you played all of the instruments and were in your glory. And you went into the little drum studio and played. I'm thinking you didn't walk in there unsure of yourself. I'm thinking you walked in, I'm thinking you probably strutted through that door like, I got this. And sat down at the drum set. Like, I'm thinking that was probably genuine.
I've been playing drums since I was three. I'm 43. So it's been a long time. So I think in most rooms, just mathematically speaking, I'm probably amongst the better drummers in the room, even in a music store, just statistically speaking. So I think that that gives me a lot of confidence. I walked into Guitar Center being like, okay, if there are drummers here, the likelihood that they're better than me or more experienced is kind of low, just statistically speaking. So I know that I'm an expert. I'll come in.
So does that mean that our worth or how good we are at something or how much we can be comfortable with doing it or asking for something? Does that mean that it is connected to the abilities of other people around us? Like it's not just a sort of internal comparison, but it's in conjunction to other people around us. So at work, if we're going to ask for a raise or a promotion.
Yes, very much so. I think a lot of situations it's comparative.
Okay. So you know what? Yes, I think you're right. Cause thinking about just sort of narrowing it down to this conversation about like us going to Patreon and having membership levels. What was one of the things I did? I looked at other podcasts, right? I looked at Patreon, you know, pages for other smaller podcasts that I know, podcasts that I don't know, and bigger podcasts. And so there definitely was like, we're not big like those people. So we should not be offering a membership level of that. So I guess they're part of your sort of journey of exploring your own self-worth, I guess for a lot of people probably is in an unhealthy way tied to your valuation of other people's self-worth.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
I don't think it's healthy because you don't know. Like, so it worked out well for you. You walked into Guitar Center and you were like, statistically, I'm looking around at these people. I'm one of the oldest people in there, right? At some points, you were one of the oldest people. You were one of the oldest people. So statistically, I've probably been playing for more years than these people. And so I probably have more experience. So I'm confident. But you had no way of knowing that, right? Like, there could have been a drummer for like, I don't know, Aerosmith in there, but you'd know him. I don't know. For some, there could have been like...
I bumped into Joey Kramer.
Joey Kramer, you'd probably, but there could have been, I don't know, some... I don't know what's a
famous... Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea.
Right? But you told yourself, you made that evaluation of yourself based on what you thought other people's self-worth was. And I think that's why this conversation is important for people to think about, because I do think there's a lot of comparison, right? Comparison is the thief of joy. Somebody said
well, that. And I identified for myself a benchmark, a baseline, right? And that's what I compared it to.
What was your baseline?
Comparative experience.
Oh, okay.
So, but I think that that's what everybody does when they try to identify their own self-worth is what's the benchmark? Like thinking about what the benchmark is. Because when I have new people that start at work, and if you're new to Changing Perspectives, my day job is organ and tissue donation. So I work for the local OPO. Organ procurement organization here in New England. And when someone starts brand new, you know, the benchmark usually, because people that enter the industry usually are brand new to the industry because it's so niche. There's only one to the region. And so their benchmark is zero, right? Like their benchmark for experience in the industry of organ and tissue donation is zero. And so I always talk to them in terms of getting themselves ready to enter the training program. You know, after day one, you now have one day more experience in this industry more than anybody else. Even folks, the other folks in the medical field, even an attending physician at a tier one, level one center in Boston, who's never worked at organ and tissue donation, you know more than that physician does because you've only been here for one day. So like the benchmark is it's movable for sure, but everybody, I think, in thinking about what they're worth, always compares to something. Maybe that's wrong, or I'm not supposed to, but
no. Well, I think that's how we measure progress, right? And so I talk about that. I'm thinking, as you're talking about your work, I'm thinking about my work as a therapist and thinking about specifically moms. So when I work with moms, whether they're new moms or not new moms, when they start to struggle with mom guilt, like, am I a good mom? It almost always comes from a place of compared to other people, right? Compared to other moms I see on social media who appear to have like a similar setup, right? So maybe they're also partnered. Maybe they're also working outside of the home, or maybe they're not. Maybe I'm a stay-at-home mom and they're also a stay-at-home mom. So that comparison there. And I always then ask, like, but so what is your, I always relate it to school, right? Because I like school. And for people who are kind of control freaks and perfectionists or recovering perfectionists, school was really good for that. If you were good at school, it was very clear. Here's what you need to do. Here are your assignments. Here's how you get 100. Here's how you check the boxes. At the end of the year, you get a report card and you're graded. But when you get out into the real world, especially when we're talking about like a role like motherhood or fatherhood, there's no report card, right? Yeah. There's no like, great job. Overall, there's no annual review with your boss around how you're doing. And so it becomes really easy to feel like you're not doing a good job, right? Especially if you're comparing yourself to external factors. So I always talk with them about like, so what does a good mom mean to you? For you to be able to say that you've done a good job this month as a mom, what would that look like? And I apply that to other things too, right? If someone's struggling with anything. If you're also new to changing perspectives, we have three dogs, and usually one or more of them make an appearance on the recording. I don't know if you just heard Norma Jean, but she has decided that it is a dinner time, even though it's not. So she's doing her pre-dinner time thing where she struts around and yawns loudly and starts to play with toys. So anyways, my point there is that I agree with you. I think in many areas, we do need a benchmark. And we don't have them internally. So we lean towards external benchmarks. And that's really dangerous because there's no way for us to know if those benchmarks are accurate.
So I have another article that is more, relative to what your vision was for this episode. And this is from positivepsychology.com, written by Courtney Ackerman. What is self-worth and how do we build it? And there's some sections in here about, you know, what is the meaning of self-worth and self-value? This particular article does come with some worksheets and whatnot. So if folks are interested, again, it's positivepsychology.com. Self-worth is defined by Merriam-Webster as a feeling that you are a good person who deserves to be treated with respect. That's a pretty basic definition, but in your professional opinion, would you agree with that definition?
Yeah, right. I agree with the dictionary on this one.
Okay, good. On the other hand, he goes on to say, on the other hand, self-value is more behavioral than emotional. more about how you act toward what you value, including yourself and how you feel about yourself compared to others. That's interesting.
Why is that interesting to you?
Because that's putting your, that's thinking about your own values and what you value, connecting it to self-value.
That
so how totally... how you view yourself as compared to what you value? Did I read that correctly?
Read it again, because that's not what I interpreted.
On the other hand, self-value is more behavioral than emotional. More about how you act toward what you value, including yourself, and how you feel about yourself compared to others. So that's saying opposite of what we were saying. But, well, but basically it's saying what you were saying about the work you do with moms.
I don't know. It's saying it hurts my brain. And at this time of day, my brain does not work. I always say that, like, this time of day, it's 4:30 right now. I cannot write during this time. Like, I cannot write professional things. I cannot write things for publications. My brain does not work that way. So I'm having a really hard time conceptualizing what you just said. Cause the first time I heard it, I'm also visual. I'm a visual learner. I need to see things in front of me. But the first time I read it, I was thinking they were saying that self-value is kind of your self-worth in action.
Okay.
But that's just how I interpreted it. But then I also disagreed with that, because I'm thinking so much of our self-worth is not just displayed in our actions and our behaviors, but also in our thoughts towards ourselves.
So self-value, they're assuming that what you value is yourself, and how you act toward it is what it's about. Like, so how you act towards yourself, how you treat yourself, I guess, essentially, is more about the self-value than actually what you think you're worth.
I really think you just broke my brain. I don't know.
But do you think
you can pontificate on that? But I'm super confused about that difference now.
I'm confusing myself.
Okay.
What do you think that self-worth is the same as self-esteem, or if not, how do they differ?
I think for purposes of this conversation, that's what we're talking about, right? Is how you feel about yourself and how valuable you deem yourself. So I guess they're slightly different, right? Like self-esteem is like, am I a good person? And self-worth is a little bit deeper than that. I think all of that is hard for people sometimes. Yeah.
And I think, obviously I think they're all connected. What I like about this article is it's asking questions and comparing these similar concepts like self-worth and self-esteem. They also compare self-worth and self-confidence.
Okay. I did not prepare adequately for this episode and review note cards on self-confidence versus worth versus esteem. So I feel like I'm failing as a therapist right now.
You're absolutely not.
And so I'm noticing a downtick in my self-confidence and my self-worth and my self-esteem as we're sitting here talking.
But I think, the differences are not, they're subtle, right? I mean, between all these different concepts, but I think
there's sort of like if you listen to our cognitive behavioral therapy episode, there's sort of like a triangle, right? Like the cognitive behavioral approach of the interconnectedness between our thoughts, our behaviors, and our actions. Nope. Our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions. Our thoughts influence our actions and feelings and all of that. I feel like self-worth, self-confidence, self-esteem, they all are sort of part of the same triangle and influence each other.
100% agree. And what the article goes on to say is actually what I was trying to articulate about myself a little while ago. It says, it's not necessary to have a high sense of self-confidence in every area of your life. There are naturally some things that you will simply not be very good at.
I would say it's dangerous to have that in all areas of your life, right? Like that would be an inflated self-confidence.
It's the important thing is to have self-confidence in the activities in your life that matter to you and a high sense of self-worth overall. So yeah, I mean, if you think, like, for us, we, this podcast and what we're trying to do and what we're, the content we're trying to put out for people matters to us. And I think that ties into our self-worth of the work that we put on the content that we're doing, the activity of doing this podcast and getting the content out for people. So I think that we have to have confidence in our own ability to do that in order to take it to that next level of saying, all right, we're going to advocate for this, for the content, the level that we're putting out, the quality, and we're going to say, okay, we think that we have some extra stuff to offer. So welcome Patreon, right?
Yeah. I guess as you're talking about it, I'm thinking there is a kind of subtle difference between that. You can be confident in something, right? Like, I guess sticking with this analogy, you can be confident in your ability to be a podcast co-host and talk about things and explore kind of deeper, harder, sometimes painful topics in a sort of authentic and sometimes light, funny way. But that doesn't necessarily translate to feeling worthy of putting it out there even.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you could be confident in your ability. You could be confident in your decision, right? So if we now sort of shift this to like relationships, you could be confident that your feelings about a situation, your interpretation about a relationship, maybe boundaries that are being crossed in a relationship, you can be confident that you're right. Right. Mm-hmm. That like your feelings about it, your interpretations, they're 100% spot on. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you feel you can feel worthy enough to do something about it.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So I think there is that difference between confidence and worth. And how do you convince yourself that you are worthy of asking for more in any situation, or I guess demanding less?
Yeah.
If that's
right.
Right. Because more isn't always better. So maybe in some situations you're asking for less. But how do you get yourself to a place where you're like, I'm worthy of asking this question. I deserve to have this explored. And I think that is a struggle for some people. And I don't have the answer. But I think it's important to kind of shine light on that and have folks think about that a little bit. Like what are you feeling right now in terms of, or where is your struggle or your like pain point right now in terms of feeling worthy? Is there a promotion at work? Is there a raise you're not asking for? Are there people in your life that are taking advantage of you or that you're letting take advantage of you? Are there things that you're doing for free that you don't need to be doing? And I will say, so I'll talk about this personally for myself on two issues. One, if you follow my Facebook page or my Instagram, you probably saw that I did a really scary thing and I met internet strangers in person. So this wonderful group of women that I met online during COVID who are also fellow content creators and writers and write about a lot of the same stuff that I write about and are kind of in the same place in their life. They all have older kids. So teenagers or older, and some also have younger kids, but we're at least, we're all parenting or have recently parented older kids. And so we've connected for many years online and really know each other. And someone was brave and said, let's meet in person. And so we did. And that's, I guess, maybe a separate episode is,
yeah, we should,
right? That experience and what that was and what that meant emotionally and how hard that was and why and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, one of the important things we talked about that weekend that someone talked about and got me thinking is that I don't do this for free anymore. Like if I'm going to write a long form piece and I think it's really good, I'm not just going to put it on my Facebook page for people to read and share for free. I'm going to submit it to publications that will pay me for that work. Mm-hmm. And that was really powerful for me to hear because they're right. They're 100% right. Some of my pieces are shorter. Some of them are long. But it got me thinking, well, why don't I do that? Like what does it say about how I value myself or my own self-worth as a writer, as a content creator, If I'm just giving away my work for free, and we talk about this, this is the sort of other, the second personal piece, we talk about this as social workers. So in the classes that I teach online, for folks who are getting their master's in social work, we talk about sort of the field of social work, and we talk about how the origins of the profession come from, you know, kind of settlement houses and really living with the poor and working right alongside them while living with them. And so there's still this notion that like social workers should be poor, right? Like social workers should not be asking for good compensation packages. They should not be negotiating salaries. They should take whatever they're going to get paid, even if it's nothing. They should absolutely pay for their graduate education and pay to work for free somewhere as an intern for 24 hours a week for 2 years. And pay and not get paid while also paying their own bills and supporting perhaps their family and taking classes, and then definitely not feel like they can get a job that pays that back. But there's that, because you're not somehow worthy of that, or you're somehow not a good social worker if you are asking for a kind of livable wage for yourself. And then as a therapist, you know, not offering free therapy. Right. Because there are some people that don't have, there are lots of people that don't have insurance or have insurance that I don't take. Right. So I just had a client come back to me after a year or so. They have a different insurance now. This literally happened a few minutes ago. I don't take their new insurance, or it looks like I don't, because there's all new wacky insurance plans, because insurance, that's a separate episode.
That's a whole other,
that's a whole other episode. Mental health and insurance companies. The internal struggle always, because I know this person, is like, well, if I don't take their insurance, I should just see them for free.
No.
But I can't work for free. No. If I don't, like, this is how I pay the bills and how I support my family and how I support myself. And if I am just offering free therapy, what does that say about, what am I saying about myself? That like, I'm not that good of a therapist. You don't have to pay me. Or I'm not that good of a writer. You don't have to pay me. Here's my work for free, right? But I think there is this, the self-worth is at play there. And I think people do that, you know, in their regular jobs. I'm not gonna, I don't want to seem greedy. I'm not gonna negotiate this new, job offer. I'm not gonna ask for a raise. I'm supposed to have annual reviews, but it's been like a year and 9 months. I don't want to seem pushy. I'm not that good, right? This is a complicated thing. And the reality is, we're the only people in most situations. We ourselves are the only people that can advocate for ourselves and that can say we are worthy. It cannot come from an external source.
Right, right. Yeah. That was good, Jenny.
I love when I like go off on a tangent and I pontificate for a little bit, and then all you say is like, yeah.
I'm just listening and enjoying. Do you want me to pay you for that?
No, I don't think I'm worth it.
No. Okay. Well, I think that it is, we're recording this on Halloween.
We are. Oh, is Happy it just Halloween. About trick-or-treating time? Are we going to be invaded tricking, by?
Yeah, we might be invaded by little masked
fairies.
But I wanted to sort of end by talking about the section of the article from positivepsychology.com where it talks about common this is common yardsticks people use to measure their self-worth. And this kind of ties back to what we were saying before. And I don't agree. I think all of these are bad juju. This is not good for people. But the first one is appearance.
Hold on. I love when we read articles and we basically just disagree with these poor people that we don't know.
No.
Like, no.
This is saying that this is not, like, people shouldn't do this.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. That people shouldn't. Compare
these are yardsticks you should not use.
Yeah. These are,
oh, okay,
these
okay.
are pitfalls.
My bad.
That's okay. Well, it's okay that we do that too. We can be critical of things. Mm-hmm. It sparks conversation. Anyway, appearance. So whether measured by the number on the scale or size of clothing worn or a kind of attention received by others. So appearance is something that people can compare.
And I'm just going
to
jump in if that's okay.
Of course.
Appearance is even more dangerous now, right? In the sort of world of social media where things are filtered and nipped and talked and people, it's not, you're not, I think in most cases, comparing yourself to reality.
Yeah, exactly. Net worth. This can mean income, material possessions, mm-hmm. financial assets, or all of the above, right?
True. Although if I win the $1 billion Powerball, even though I haven't played, I will be pretty happy with myself.
You gotta play to win.
You gotta play to.
And pay to win. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Number three, you know who you know or your social circle. Some people judge mm-hmm. their own value and value of others by their status and what important or influential people they know.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. And how, like, and I think that that's part of the reason that first article, that first viral article that I had a few years ago, the B-list friend, that's why that article took off, is because people do place a whole lot of worth or tie their self-worth into, like, their social circle. And, like, are they like folks first choice? Do they get invited to a lot of things? Do they have, you know, the friends with the most status or not? I think self-worth gets sort of tripped up in that. The whole point of my article was that it shouldn't, and it should count as the other stuff. But
next is what you do or your career. We often judge mm-hmm. others by what they do. For example, a stockbroker is often considered more successful and valuable than a janitor or a teacher.
Okay, these are all like podcast episodes. We can talk about all of these, right?
I know.
For the entire episode.
We could.
I think it's also dangerous to tie your self-worth up into that. I also work with a lot of folks in life transition, right? And what's one of the big life transitions? Retirement. And so if your self-worth, also mother, your role as a parent, if you've been a stay-at-home mom and your babies are all out of the nest and your entire identity and self-worth has been wrapped up in who you are as a mom, that's really hard, because then you're rebuilding everything then. Mm-hmm. If you are a nurse professionally and that's been your identity for four decades, that's it, right? Like, that is how you define your self-worth. Those people really struggle at retirement, because suddenly mm-hmm. they're like, well, who am I? And am I worthy of anything? Because I'm no longer a nurse, or fill in the blank for whatever your profession is. So yeah, there's danger. These are wonderful yardsticks that are really unhealthy. Totally agree.
And really good, again, potential individual episodes. Because I think that this one can also add higher education to this as well. Just because
we need to take notes on all of this, right? Because mm-hmm. there's a side conversation as one of our kiddos is looking at sort of vocational high school options instead of traditional high school. And another kid who's perhaps not explored college and all of the stuff that's wrapped up in that as we're talking to other parents along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Take notes and remind us about this.
Well, I'm going to add the link to our shared note for podcast topics to this.
Oh, you should also add the link to our Patreon page.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Okay, what's next?
The last one here is standby. Okay. What you achieve. So it says we frequently use achievements to determine someone's worth, whether it's your own worth or someone else's, such as success in business, scores on the SATs, or placement in a marathon or other athletic challenge. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that as a mom, that always makes me think of the memes out there, although Jacob, our youngest, will say, mom, they're not really memes. I don't know, the pretty word things that I make along with other people that talk about, like, my kid might not be an honor roll student or make the all-star team or, you know, be captain of the football team or whatever, but, you know, they're valuable because of X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
We do, especially in childhood and adolescent, place as a society a lot of value on those achievements. And again, working with folks in life transition, so transition from like college and postgraduate to non-academic life, is really hard for people, because if their identity has been wrapped up in being like the smartest, the best athlete, the greatest leader on the team, the best group member, and then suddenly they're in the workforce where they're not, like, that's great.
Yeah.
You're doing your job, but you're no longer like the achiever. That's a struggle. And that comes from your self-worth being tied to that component of your identity. So further we can get away from that, the better.
We're all guilty of that. Like, we're all guilty of comparing somebody new to something else.
Because our society does that, right? We've learned to do that.
Right. Like, I remember, you know, people know that both our boys are athletes and have been involved in sports since they were really young. That's pretty much their primary extracurricular sports, even though now they're really both pretty accomplished musicians. But anyway, I remember when they were younger, you know, fifth grade, sixth grade, when they would come home from school and tell me or tell us a story about a new friend or a kid at school, and I wasn't familiar with them, I would always say, "Do they play sports?" Like, I was guilty of that. Like, well, let me try to figure out what type of child this is. And my automatic benchmark was to meet up with what their benchmark is, which was athletics. Right. But I should have said something like, "Oh, what are they into?" You know, instead of being like, "Do they play sports?" Right.
Yeah. Again, a whole other podcast episode is like, navigating peer relationships as a parent, right? Yeah. Like your children's friendships. I did not do that. I would not ask that. I would be like, what are their feelings? I don't know. I would sort of ask about qualitative stuff like that. Like, are they happy? Are they sad? What do they do? What do they do when they're feeling stressed? And our boys would be like, "Mom, don't talk like that."
What position do they play?
Yeah. Yeah, that's that. So yes, I think societally we categorize, right? Like, how do we sort of, classify, categorize, assign worth to people in our society? Well, like, what do they do for a living? Mm-hmm. Do they take care of themselves? Like, what? Not that people go around being like, "What size are they?" But again, podcast topic. Like, what do we do when people lose weight? We're like, "Oh, you look amazing." What's the sort of underlying piece of that is like, "Oh, you didn't look so amazing and you weren't so great." Right. Like, "I'm so proud of you." "Yeah, but I wasn't proud of you before. But now that you've lost weight and you're like a size six, you are valued." Right. So we do societally categorize people that, and like, you know, are you in the honor society? Are you an athlete? All of that stuff. And so it's really easy, because that's what our society does, to then do it to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And have that be our yardstick. And it's really hard to do that if you are always determining your self-worth in relation to how you value other people. You're never going to be good enough for yourself.
Right, right.
Unless you have a super inflated sense of ego. But because it's always going to be easy for you to assign more value to other people.
Yeah.
Were there other things that they said?
That was it. That was the last one. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I think we're almost at an hour. I think we're like 50 minutes or so.
We
want to wrap this one up and get ready.
I think we should wrap it up.
And Elsa's to ring the doorbell.
I don't think people are being frozen this year. I think we're going to see a lot of
somebody at work. I was asking one of my coworkers the other day. I said, "What do your kids mean for Halloween?" Anna was a choice.
So here's my competitive side. You and I should like come up with bingo cards really quickly before we start getting trick-or-treaters about what we think we're going to see. And then the winner gets to pick what we're going to watch, which is all of that is silly because we know what we're going to watch tonight. So
no, I like that. The winner, we can come up with some other prize.
Okay.
Halloween costume bingo coming our way.
Okay. I'm going to get paper right now.
Yes, do it.
I can't reach it. I have little T-Rex arms. I can't reach it. What I was going to say is we should also talk about we would like to get back to recording these episodes weekly and dropping an episode weekly. Yeah. We'll try our very best. We are right now in the middle of an overlap of seasons between football season and basketball season. And Josh is launching a new thing at work. And so it's a little crazy right now, but this is our intent. And hopefully this new software and stuff will be easy for us to record. Yeah. And just turn on the microphones and get stuff. So that's our hope as we move into November and December, is to be putting out weekly episodes for you. So again, go check out Patreon, check out those three levels. Remember, anyone who signs up in the month of November gets that free download of my mini ebook, and we appreciate any support that you give us. And if you don't want to join a monthly membership, you can buy us a coffee. I love that little website because it's a clever play on words. Well, there's also Buy Me a Coffee. I don't have an actual link. I don't have a thing on there, but I use Coffee, which is KO-FI. And so if you go to coffee.com, Changing Perspectives, you can buy us a coffee. Just a one-time thing. And that also helps support our show. So that's my little plug, because I am encouraging myself to feel worthy of getting some compensation and payment so that, you know, we can continue to do this, because it does take time, but we love it so much.
Patreon.com/the Changing Perspectives Podcast as a reminder. So check out the Patreon and be on the lookout for episode 104. But this one is 103, and we had fun. Did you have fun?
I did have fun. So hopefully, hopefully this we're able to pull this down and actually upload it. Well, fingers crossed, everybody, that you're able to hear this episode and it doesn't just get lost in the abyss.
Yeah. Well, happy Halloween, everybody. And I hope you all are getting ready for a fun Thanksgiving holiday, whatever that means for you. But we'll...
Merry Christmas and happy holidays, because you're listening to this on November 1st. So XM Holly Radio is probably out.
Yeah, Jenny is a pro Christmas on November 1st person. And over
I'm not. I'm a pro. You do you. Like, you do what makes you happy. If you want to keep your pumpkins up until December 24th, I honestly don't care. If you want to put your Christmas tree up November 1st, I honestly don't care.
I literally
do what makes you happy.
I just put up some Halloween decorations today on Halloween, and I think they're going to stay up for a couple days. So.
I'm not ready for Christmas yet. I think for me now, the marker is the end of football season.
That works. Season.
I think for me that's, can't be, because now it goes until December, because our son made an all-star team. So I got to think about something else.
But anyway, hey, go Panthers, by the way. Big playoff game coming up, right, Jenny?
Oh, like our Panthers.
Yeah, our Panthers.
I was like, the Carolina Panthers, didn't they just play yesterday?
Okay. They did. They lost. But they're playing well.
So we're getting into a rambling.
Time to go. All right, everybody. Thank you all. Say bye, Jenny.
Bye, Jenny.